Please stand in body or in spirit. The day is coming, says the Lord, burning like an oven. Though the world trembles and nations fall,
our hope is in the Lord, whose steadfast love endures forever.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary without losing what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Malachi, the fourth chapter. See, a day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 98 responsively with me and with enthusiasm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory.
The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication to the sight of the nations.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise for the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy.
At the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The second reading is from 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. And we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Saint Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, as for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that it is to take place?" He said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near, but do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and to prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Praise to you, Christ.
It's a good thing that not a hair on my head will perish. I do not have many that remain intact. That's about right. There's this one right here that always grows out and looks dumb, and I gotta go shave it off. The Gospels, I'm going to start over. We're going to pretend that this, I looked over those guys. I got distracted. So my friends are over there, my friends from high school. There's two things you need to know about them. One, especially the one right there with the little scruffy beard, you know, that guy. He's got an incredible memory. Like he and his brother can remember things from like that I said and did from like 25 years ago. The second thing you need to remember about them or know about them, they're incredible liars. As the disciples look upon the temple in Jerusalem, its massive stone, its grand and glorious beauty, Jesus has a warning for them. The days will come when not one of these stones will be left upon another. All will just be thrown down. They start panicking, as I think we might. Teacher, when will this be? How will we know that these things are going to happen? These questions, they come from fear, and it's a fear that we can understand. If the temple falls, if that grand, glorious, immense temple falls, what else will fall? Something tremendously bad is happening. What is next after that? And then Jesus offers them an instruction that we too, I think, should heed as we look at our own troubling times, times of uncertainty and destruction, times of war and insurrection, famine and nation rising against nation. Jesus says, do not be led astray. Many, they will come in my name saying, I am he and the time is near, but do not go after them. Here's the thing. Sometimes when it comes to listening to Jesus, we're not so good at listening to Jesus. And it kind of comes with this instruction too. We've always tried to read the signs of the times because we're a little afraid. We want to know when all of these bad things are going to happen. We always believe that someone somewhere has finally figured it out. Go to Wikipedia and search end times predictions. There's a lot of them. Never has there been a shortage of fraudsters, fakes, and false prophets. Take Harold Camping, for instance. Anyone here ever heard of Harold Camping? He was so good at predicting the end of the world that he didn't do it just once. He did it multiple times. First on September 6th, 1994, and then he pushed that back to September 29th. How dare that guy predict the end of the world on my birthday? Then October 2nd, then on March 31st, 1995, and then he postponed it by about a decade and a half, making his final prediction of the end of the world on October 21st, 2011, which I think we made it. And while many, thank you, Abby, and while many took him seriously, many took Harold Camping seriously, he just didn't take himself seriously. Otherwise, why did he convince all of his followers to sell their homes and belongings and send him the proceeds? An estimated $100 million in end times wealth that he amassed, leading to the obvious question, if the world is ending, why does Harold Camping need $100 million of our dollars, right? That is a little cultish. You are right, Abby. Sadly, when October, there are some real world consequences to this. When October 21st came and went, many of his followers were left with nothing. No homes, no savings, not even jobs. Because let's be real, if you're convinced the world is ending tomorrow, that Christ is returning tomorrow, that's pretty much it for work, right? You're not going to work anymore because after that, what's the point? And Brent's like, I don't think the world's ending tomorrow, and I don't work anyway. He works, but that's a standing joke in a group chat we have. Anyway, guess you had to be there. The early church, The early church in Thessalonica, they knew this kind of anxiety that came on from the belief that the world was ending tomorrow. Some believers were afraid that Jesus had already returned and that they had missed it. This causes Paul to write to them, "As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken or alarmed that the day of the Lord is already here." What Paul is saying is that Christ has not yet returned. You haven't missed anything, so please stop listening to that crackpot Harold Camping and don't send him any more of your money. Paul consoles the fearful, reminding them of what he and Timothy and Silvanus had taught to them when they were with them in person at the founding of this Christian faith community. But then he goes on to confront the busybodies, those that are inciting and stirring up panic, the ones who claim to have this insider information about the end of the world, the ones that are saying Christ has already come, and he tells them to knock it off and get back to work. It's to this community then, where some have stopped working entirely, they are sitting idly by and waiting for the end, and others have made it their job to be troublemaking busybodies. It's to them that Paul says anyone unwilling to work should not eat. This is not Paul being harsh. It is Paul exercising pastoral authority and care for a faith community that he felt ownership of in continuing to shape their faith. So, at a Boy Scout camp, cooking duties, they are shared, right? When a scout is out goofing off, and this never happens, when a scout is out goofing off during the cooking and the cleaning, but then somehow magically manages to appear when the food is ready, I might want to tell him you can't eat. I might want to starve him, but the scouts kind of they frown on that. I can't do it. I don't get away with it. But what I might say to him, if you're unwilling to help your fellow scouts cook and clean, you should not eat. I'm not saying you can't eat, not starving the scout. Instead, I'm appealing to his sense of responsibility for his community of scouts to re-engage him in the work that needs to be done for the good of the community. And Paul is doing the same thing. His instruction, anyone unwilling to work should not eat, it is not a universal principle. It is a specific word for a specific community at a specific moment in time for a specific subset of people within that community. Paul speaks to those who have abandoned their everyday responsibilities of life because they think the world is ending. He tells them, it's not. So stop sitting around, idly watching and waiting and stirring up trouble. Re-engage in this world and in this community, because this world and your community needs you here and now. The broader message then is simple. Re-engage with the neighbors around you, with the faith community and the world around you. Spend your time living in this age in and with this community that needs you now, not dreaming of the next age. Yes, we trust in the blessed assurance that that next age will come, that Christ will return, but that doesn't mean that we just sit back and relax with our feet propped up. It doesn't mean we overload our neighbor with work that we ourselves could be doing. Paul, he concludes with an exhortation for the entire community. It's for the entire community, not just the non-workers of this community. And it's an exhortation that's meant for us too, right here and right now. He says, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing what is good. Do not grow weary in doing what is good. That's a pretty broad statement. I think it's intended to be a pretty broad statement. And I wonder, what does that look like here in this place? What does it look like as you go about from here and go about doing all of the things you do over the course of your everyday lives? So let's start with God's goodness, because I think God's goodness is where it always starts, right? God's goodness is the love, grace, and mercy that we have received in and through Christ. By the way, no questions asked, no work requirements, and no preconditions for God's goodness that we have received. God's goodness for us then flows from us and to our neighbor, for the neighbor. As Luther is right to remind us, good works are not for God, they are for the neighbor. When we are at our best as Christians, as Christian faith communities, we live into our Christian vocation without prerequisites, without preconditions for the neighbor. Instead, we offer what goodness we can, what love we can, what grace we can, what mercy we can. By showing up when we can and where we can, we offer the food we can, and yes, I've even known us to offer the money we can. So almost 2 years ago, February 14th, 2024, yes, that was Valentine's Day, but I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. And even if it was Valentine's Day, I'm sure we didn't do anything. I didn't buy you flowers or chocolates. We didn't go out for a meal. No, we were celebrating Ash Wednesday. It was Ash Wednesday. We were over at St. Paul. We worshiped as a joint community of faith, St. Paul and First Lutheran, and together we lived into a shared Christian vocation. There was a family that showed up, two young children with that family. Their van was run down. Maybe they were living out of it. We didn't know. They asked for help, said that they needed to get to California for an immigration hearing. Maybe. We agreed that any loose offering would go to them. Together, we collected the largest loose offering of any joint service that I can remember, a hefty number for our joint community of faith, over $400. Later, a little bit disheartening, we learned that they had been to several area churches with the same story. And maybe their story wasn't true. Maybe it was a rehearsed story. My view on it is that their need, whether the story wasn't real, their need was real. Though some, I think, felt that our goodness had been exploited, a feeling that I will admit is understandable. And when we feel exploited, when we feel like we've been lied to, when we feel like we've been duped, when we feel like we've been had, the flow of God's goodness that comes from us to the neighbor will slow to a trickle as we become overwhelmed with these human feelings of anger, frustration, disappointment. We vow that won't happen to us again, right? It's easy for us to become cynical at times like these. It's easy to latch on to these verses like, you know what, you don't work, you don't eat. And they overwhelm all the times in Scripture when Jesus just gathered thousands of people around and fed them without asking them, where do you work? You don't work, you don't eat. It's not what Paul meant to that faith community. And it's not who we are. Because it's not who our God of goodness made known in Jesus Christ is. Of course, absolutely, we must steward our resources wisely. They are gifts from God that we are meant to steward for our neighbor and for this world. and the overriding instruction still remains. Brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing what is good, even if you feel like you've been had, even if you feel like you've been duped. Because this is a world that needs goodness, needs God's goodness, grace, love, and mercy to overwhelm the fear, the anxiety, the shaking and the tumult, the wars and the rising and falling of nations and leaders, the toppling of churches and temples. This world needs goodness. This world needs God's goodness. As we look expectantly to Christ's return, we cannot escape this world because we are of this world. And God's love for us and for this world must root us in the here and now. So we cannot sit idly by. We cannot grow weary in doing what is good. We must show up. We must love boldly. And we must offer all the goodness that we can muster. We must let God's love, mercy, and goodness flow from us freely to the neighbor and to the world. As Luther is right to say, otherwise, we simply aren't Christian. My dear siblings in Christ, do not grow weary of doing good. And also, do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. For we know that Christ will return. Do not grow weary. Amen.
Amen.
Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father.
prayers this morning.
Vince and McKenna.
Okay. Any other prayers this morning? Let us pray. Gathered with one voice, we offer our prayers for the church, for the world, and all who are in need.
God of roots and branches, shape the leaders of your church to proclaim the gospel using discernment, wisdom, and brave witness, not proclaiming their own agendas, but always striving to faithfully teach and preach scripture and pointing to the good news that is your love, made known for this world on the cross. Keep us, the baptized of this faith community, on righteous paths in response to gospel, that we bring good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, and let the oppressed go free. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of healing, where just injustice and exploitation result in populations that are marginalized or underserved, accompany those abandoned by friends, hurt by family, and harmed by violence or oppression. Care for all who are ill, anxious, or in pain of any kind, especially the family and friends of Jean, the family and friends of Mitzi, Jean, Chuck, Joyce, Chloe, Vince and McKenna, Rosemary, those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists, for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of roaring seas, in a world of earthquake, famine, and plague, use your mighty power to nurture the land and all that lives upon it. Restore peoples and places experiencing natural disasters, especially in Jamaica, and humanitarian disasters brought on by war and violence, especially in Gaza and Sudan. Strengthen organizations who provide aid to any crisis. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. God of every generation, we remember the saints with steadfast love and faithfulness, especially Jean Taylor and Mitzi Wiggins. Confident in Christ's victory over death, may we be inspired by the example of the faithful. Hear us, O God. We offer these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your grace and your unyielding love through Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace.
Peace, Brian. Peace, Andrew.
We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. God of healing and hope, you bless those who are hungry, promising to fill them with good things. Fulfill that promise through us and these your gifts. Nourish us with the abundance of your feast and unite us into the blessed body of Jesus Christ, our Savior, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Gave thanks and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, taste and see that our Lord is good, where the food here is for all. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Christ, yes, we are.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. God of field and flower, wheat and grape, you have nourished us with the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. Strengthened by the body and blood of your Son, send us out to gather your good gifts for all who hunger and thirst, and embolden us to love and serve in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, a few announcements this morning. Let's see. Friendsgiving, day after Thanksgiving, it will be here at the church from 4 to 6. If you wish to sign up to bring food or help with it, there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the gathering area, or just show up sometime between 4 and 6 and enjoy a meal the day after Thanksgiving. Poinsettia order forms. There should be an announcement in your bulletin, but they are also on the other table in the gathering area. Please take a look at those. If you would like to buy a poinsettia in memory or in honor of someone, please do so within the next few weeks. Weirdly, Advent starts soon. Next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. The following Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. Now, our tradition here is to decorate the church for the start of Advent, which means that after worship next Sunday, we will be decorating the church for Advent, which does include some, we'll call them Advent trees, okay? Now, we've already got a ladder guy, so we're not going to ask you to climb any ladders or go get the ladders, but if you could stay after worship and help us clean, that would be wonderful. No, 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 you're the ladder guy. I'm pointing at you. You are the ladder guy.
But you're not asking.
I believe someone did, and she dimed you out and said that you said yes. Also, good news. Good news just doesn't come in sermons and in, you know, the gospel. Good news comes in the form of announcements. Catechism students, next Sunday, you get out of decorating, but you do have catechism. Sorry. What? Yes, finally, you do. Yes. So, any other announcements, any other announcements this morning? Yes, Marty. That is a good segue, Marty. Keep talking.
The children will really, really appreciate it very much. And I thank you very much. Those are going to be delivered tomorrow.
So we're going to do, this one box here is going to be representative of the other boxes we've collected and will be delivered today. And I have a blessing somewhere. May find it quick. And I also want to add a thank you to all who helped. We had two funeral meals here this week. I want to thank anyone who helped and assisted with that.